And the rest of us turn to Luke 21 in our Bibles. Luke 21. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to use the one in front of you. Now, we do have Bibles that we'd be more than happy to give you. And if you need a Bible, don't take the pew one, but we do have some that we purchase because we want you to have a Bible. We want you to be able to follow along, and so that'll be great. But good to see some of the men here that were at the stakeout yesterday, and we just are thrilled that you're here, and every one of you. And I trust that God will work in this. This is a little bit more of a teaching message this morning, because that's what Jesus was doing here. Let me catch you up to speed. We are now in the final week of Jesus' life. In fact, just a few short days from when he is going to be crucified. He has spent, this is his last day at the temple. Now, he's been answering questions just peppered with questions from his enemies, trying to trip him up about his authority, about the resurrection, about a whole bunch of things. And so he is leaving the temple. Upon him leaving the temple, if you'd see it, it's just a massive place. As he was leaving, he went to the outer court where the offerings were taken. And that's where we were last week in the first four verses of Luke 21. It's a section that some people know as the widow's mite and her giving and the amount of sacrifice that she made. See, God does not measure what you give, whether it's monetarily, whether it's serving or whatever, by how much you do. God measures it by the amount of sacrifice that is done. You know, there are people here who physically are struggling. It took them a whole lot more to get here this morning. God knows that. And God blesses that. And God honors that. God smiles upon that. There are people who are going to put something in the offering today, and they're looking at it and saying, well, you know, it is what it is. And God could mightily bless it based on the fact of what kind of sacrifice it is. And so now we get to the part, Jesus knows literally he just has hours with his disciples. He's been alluding to what's about to happen in Jerusalem because the Jews had rejected him. It would have been a completely different outcome. But he says, okay, this is what's going to happen. But he's telling them about two separate times. Tell him about two separate events. One has already happened, but one is going to happen, and we read about it in the book of Revelation. You can read about it in the book of Daniel as well, especially chapter 9, but especially in the book of Revelation. So we're going to go through this. I'm going to make some application because I promised you there is some application here. But I want to show you a few truths this morning that I believe are going to be a help to you this morning. And we entitled it, Two Tough Futures. Now here's the thing that I'll say before we even read the scripture. You choose your future. It's that simple. And especially being under the preaching of the Word of God, you choose where your eternity is. Whether it's going to be forever with the Lord or without Him in the lake of fire, you choose that based on what you do with Jesus. The Jews have now flat out rejected Jesus. He knows he's only a couple days from them crucifying him just to get rid of him. So now what he's doing is he's teaching his disciples what is about to come. Okay? So there's one that's more immediate and one that's in the future, just like I said. So Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 5, he said, as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, and shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and to them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now we're going to stop there, and let's pray together, because this, what I've just read, is the first event. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So as they're leaving the temple, imagine his disciples and those that are going, they're following Jesus, okay? And they get outside. Jesus had already been in the outer court. Like I said, where the offerings were, they're heading out. And here's what happens. The disciples turned around and they looked at the temple. Now, it was ornate. It was an amazing building. And they were admiring the building. But Jesus knew something. And what he decided to share with them was this. You might like this building. Now, this is around AD 30. AD 30 to AD 33. In AD 70, so this is going to be 40 years, 36 years, 40 later, Titus and the Roman army are going to come in and they are going to completely destroy the temple. The temple that you see in Israel is not the temple that was there when Jesus was there. Okay? It's actually the third temple. But what you see here is he's saying, well, okay, you can enjoy it now, but it's not going to be here much longer. Because of the rejection. You remember when the kingdom of Israel started, and we alluded to this at the men's stakeout. Solomon took over after David and was promised that if he would follow and the kings after him would follow the Lord, follow his commandments and everything, there would be peace around them, they would grow, and Solomon did the exact opposite. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he shares his regrets. Well, the kingdom just got worse. God sends Jesus as the Redeemer. What do the Jews do? They reject him. So God is bringing judgment to Israel. And he's bringing it by destroying the temple. But it's not just the temple. He is going to, the Romans are going to come in and completely obliterate everything. It is going to be a rough time. And Jesus is preparing them for this. He's telling them what's going to happen. And I want to say to you, understand that when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, he gives us what the Bible says is a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? But he didn't say we were going to be without trials and troubles. Because Christ says to them several things. We're going to go over this quickly to make our application, but the scripture is the most important thing we have. But he says, no stone will be left one upon another. In fact, when Titus came through, he made sure that it was completely destroyed so that they couldn't rebuild it like they would want to. He destroyed everything as a judgment. And Christ says, and it says, and they asked him, saying, verse 7, Master, but when shall these things be, and what shall the sign be? So Christ is here, and he's telling him, and what he's telling him is you need to prepare for this. You know, as I shared with you before, there's a second judgment coming. But for you and me, we can avoid this, the second one. This first one that he's talking about, though, and that you and I need to understand, is that we need to have the right perspective as the end is going to draw near. Now, they're saying, okay, Christ, we trust you. When is this going to be? And he gives them certain signs. And this is what he told him to do. He said, you need to flee Jerusalem. He said, there are many people, if you read your Bible there, he said, that are going to be claimed to be the Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. He said, there are going to be men that claim to be the Messiah. But do you know what happened in 70 AD when this came to fruition? There were false teachers who said, meet at the temple. As exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. The Jews who lived through through 70 AD, when he came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem, do you know what they did? They fled to the mountains. They fled to a place called Pella, P-E-L-L-A, because they listened to Christ instead of false teachers. But he says this is also going to happen. He said, you got to understand, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, when you follow Christ, a lot of people aren't going to be happy about it. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about friends inviting friends to church, aren't you? I'm excited about family members inviting family members and co-workers inviting co-workers and doing all these things, because here's what I know. I know it as a person that before I became a pastor did the exact same things. Is there's a risk there. There's a family that couldn't be here this morning because they, like a lot of other people, are experiencing the flu this morning. But the wife in the family got saved. I got to lead her to Christ right after a service. She came up here and identified with baptism. Some of her friends came, and do you know what she's told other people in this church? That the moment she got baptized, some of her friends didn't want anything to do with her. You got to understand, the world doesn't realize what they're missing. I shared yesterday at the men's stakeout about my job. There are a lot of things I do, but you know what I try to do? I try to add value to people's lives. And it's not really me adding the value. It's sharing about a Christ who adds value. My best friend turned his back on me. Best friend. Knew him since I was 5 years old. But you want to know something? That dear friend of mine didn't save my soul. Christ did that. He gave me a peace that passed all understanding. So Christ says to him, listen, there are going to be signs. And when you see these signs, get out. Well, the people who believed Jesus did. They got out. By the way, God always gives us a way of escape. Second thing he said is, hey, listen, you got to toughen up, buttercup. Do you realize that of the 12 disciples that Jesus had, now I should say 11 because we shouldn't count Judas. Of the 11 disciples that he had, 10 of them were martyred. They were killed for their faith. The only one that wasn't was the Apostle John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. And here's what you need to know. They tried to boil him to death. He's like Anne. He just refuses to go. And then they put him on an island of rock called Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. So his life was not... But you know what they decided? That following Christ was more important. So he tells them, he goes, now you're gonna, he says in verse 17, ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. But I do want you to look what he says in verse 13. It says, it shall turn to you for a testimony. People don't care what you believe until times get tough. They could care less. It's when the hurt comes, when the setbacks come, when the struggles come. That's when people want to see what you believe. And you know what he told them? You better settle it. You better settle what you believe. But he also told them this. Here's the wonderful thing. He said, listen, you're going to have to go up in front of courts and judges, all this. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, I'll take care of that. You know, a person who trusts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of them. And the Bible says one of the things Jesus told us the Holy Spirit would do is guide us into all truth. He'll tell you what to say. I've told this story because I love it so much. A fellow with a real rough background gloriously got saved on a Sunday morning. A friend of mine who's an evangelist told me this. He said he got saved on a Sunday morning, and the men had a prayer meeting like we do at 5:30, and ladies' prayer meeting at 5:30. But the guy came to the prayer meeting. Now, they do it a little bit different than we do. If you want to pray, you can. We're just glad you're there. Pray with us. Some guys do it verbally. It's an important part of our church. But this guy came, but the church, they'd line up and they'd pray, and each man would pray. And this guy, he had just gotten saved, and it was a wonderful thing. But he had never prayed. Okay, he never really prayed, and certainly he hadn't prayed out loud. So it got to his time, and he kind of stuttered and everything, and he just said, God, I'm one satisfied customer. Said the place went nuts. We had shout and rejoicing. That's all he needed to say. See, as you and I, God equips us to do what it is that we need to say, to do what we need to do, say what we need to say. There are times that things are going to come up, but you know what people are going to care about? They're going to care about your life and what is real to you, okay? He told them everything that was going to happen. But I want you to notice, if you would, he said in verse 17, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And notice what it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Now, some of these people were going to die. So what did he mean that a hair wouldn't be moved? It's simple this. Get this. They might kill you, but it doesn't change where you're going. The Bible says that God has us in his hand, and no man can pluck us out of his hand. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you accept the gift of Jesus, guess what? You never lose it. Are there days I don't feel like I'm saved? Hey, how about this? Every morning I get up, I wake up. I told you, I can't stand next Sunday because I lose an hour of sleep. I'll be glad when I'm here, but man, what are you doing taking an hour of sleep away from me? But here's the point. Doesn't matter what I feel, it's what I know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. 1 John. He's saying, listen, you might go through some things. You might have some tough times. You might struggle, but here's what I want you to know. I'm with you the whole time. Don't worry about it. Just settle what you know. Do you realize that's why church is so important? To help you settle what you know. You know why I offered Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, please let me know. I'll get you one right after the service. They're right at the Welcome Center. Why? To read it so you can settle what you know. Because times can get difficult. Okay? So he's telling them, okay, this is what you need to know about this. So that's going to be 70 AD. That's going to happen. Now, the Jews know, now we're going to come up to date now. The Jews know there's another time coming. But do you know what a lot of the Jews believe? That the second judgment of God on their lives, they believe what was World War II and the concentration camps. And certainly, that was a horrendous time. And just, I mean, you talk about the depravity of man. May I say to you, if you ever get a chance, you should visit the Holocaust Museum in D.C. It's the most sobering, probably the most sobering place I have ever been. But that's not the second judgment. Was that a judgment? Yeah. The second judgment comes. The Bible teaches there is going to come a time. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. And then I'll share with you. Okay? So we are going to start in verse 25. It says, by the way, if your Bible is like mine, it shows that it's a new paragraph. Well, this is when he stopped talking about 70 AD. And he's starting to talk about in the future. He says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken and they shall see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he goes on and talks about a fig tree. And look at verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare or a trap shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We're going to stop there. Look at me, please. Now, something that really needs to be understood is Jesus was talking to the Jews. That's really important in this. Here's why. We are called, if you're not a full-blooded Jew, you are considered a Gentile. Have you ever heard that term? Gentile. Okay? Somebody who's not a Jew is considered a Gentile. Now, in these days that are going to come, we talk to people about receiving Christ as their Savior and the urgency of it, and there's a reason why. When Jesus died on the cross and he was buried and he rose on the third day, he was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he rose and went to heaven where he is today. And by the way, you know what he's doing? He's praying for you. Amen. And me. But one day he's coming back. Now, the book of 1 Thessalonians tells us that when he comes back, there's actually two times he comes back. The first one is called the rapture. How many of you heard the term rapture? Okay? The rapture is when Jesus comes for believers, people who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. He will come down. The only people that will see Him are people who know Him as Savior, but His feet never touch the ground. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will take it and tell you, we will rise and go up with Him. And for 7 years, we will spend with Jesus, believers, in heaven. We will have something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe the judgment seat of Christ will happen there for believers. Now, during that 7 years, God brings that second judgment to the Jews. Okay? It is called the tribulation period. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying the believers are already going to be gone. The Bible says that believers are not appointed under wrath. And that's what the tribulation is. It is wrath. It is God's dealing with the Jews who, guess what they had done? The very people He came to rejected Him. And God, as a judge, as a holy judge, is coming again. And read the book of Revelation. It is just amazing the things that Jesus is going through, some of them in here. But you don't want to know a glorious truth? A lot of them are going to get saved. During the tribulation period, a lot of Jews are going to get saved. And Jesus is going to come back after the 7 years. His feet are going to touch upon the Mount of Olives. There's going to be an earthquake. The Mount of Olives is going to split into two. And Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. It's going to be a wonderful time. But here's what He was telling them. That tribulation is just going to be a brutal time. What was He doing? He was preparing them. He says, you've rejected Me. You've rejected Me. And that's why we are urgent with the call to trust Christ as Savior. Yes, this was written to the Jews. But there are going to be Gentiles who will go through the tribulation period. Unfortunately, people who do not trust Christ as their Savior will not go to heaven. So, as we wind this up, you're looking at me and I realize, hey, if you're new to church and everything, this is a lot of stuff. This is a lot of stuff for people who have come to church for quite a while. Amen? But this is what He taught them because He loved them. And may I say that if somebody loves you, they will warn you, right? You know, doesn't mean they'll listen. You know, I've told you this. My youngest son, Jonathan, before he went to college, I could see what was going to happen. And so in the summer, I would take him to lunch at least once a month or to breakfast. Whatever he wanted to do, I'd take him. And I'd sit down with him for an hour and say, here's what you need to know. You know what? He didn't listen to any of it. Not a bit of it. And he wished he had. And I told him, and I spent that time with him because I loved him. He learned his lesson, thank the Lord. But the point is, you have your chance now. But there are a few truths in this passage for you and me that we must take. First of all, number one, trust the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. You say, where in the world do you see this? Well, here's what you, let me take you back. I said that Jesus said these words in AD 30 and it was going to happen in AD 70, right? Look here. Let me help you with something. Do you know when the book of Matthew was written? Or I'm sorry, the book of Luke? AD 60 to 62. These words were written down within 10 years of it happening. God's word is true. You can trust it. The reason that those people that escaped in 70 AD and went to Pella is because they listened to Jesus' words. Listen to me. You can act like you know everything and act like everything's fine, but here's what I know. My life was a mess until I started listening to what Jesus had to say. And you can trust the Bible. You can trust the Word of God. He said in verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Listen, it's eternal in the heavens. He said, as he was praying for his disciples in John 17, he said in verse 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Guys, we need to be in the Word. We need to be reading the Word. We need to be studying the Word. We need to be coming and hearing the Word preached. We need to be doing all that stuff because that's where we're going to end. We live in perilous times, ladies and gentlemen. They raised the level of alert in our country because Iran has sleeper cells in our country. We're not immune anymore. We're not immune to the wicked and the evil going on in this world. Can I also say this to you? Your struggles are not in vain. Your struggles are not in vain. Look at verse 13. Well, let's look at verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Your struggles aren't in vain. What he was saying is this. When you have struggles in your life, there are a couple things. Number one, it's a greater opportunity to trust the Lord. By the way, you'll find your greatest times of growth are in difficult times. Am I telling the truth? I hate saying that. I wish it weren't true. I wish it weren't true, but it is. Why? Because we think about Him more. We trust Him more. But I also want to say this, that when you have a trial, when you have a struggle in your life, and you, by faith, trust God, you trust His Word, do you know what happens? People see it and it is a testimony. I see people here this morning who didn't get any sleep last night because of work. That's a testimony to me. I see people here who struggled physically to get here. I know this lady right here is hurting. What a testimony. What a testimony. And there are some of you, it was tough getting here. And other services, it's going to be tough getting here. Hey, don't think it's in vain. Don't think that it's empty. Don't think it will go without its rewards, because it won't. Let me give you a third thing. Be ready for Christ's coming. Verses 34 to 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so the day comes upon you unawares. In other words, you didn't realize it was coming. And it goes on and says some things. Listen to me. It's great you're in church. It doesn't mean squat if you don't get saved. It says, be sober, be serious. Guys, Jesus is coming. We just aren't sure exactly when, but all the signs are there for His first coming. For the rapture of the church, nothing else has to happen. In God's prophetic calendar, there is not one more thing that has to happen. You better be ready. You better be serving Him. You better be telling the people that you love. And again, what an encouragement to see people inviting their family members, for people to invite their friends, to see all that. Because I want to tell you something, nothing is going to matter. Nothing. But what we did with Jesus. Let me give you the fourth thing. God gives us the strength to endure. I'll tell you about my best friend. I'd gone to Bible college, and he wrote me a nasty letter saying, "I can't believe you've turned your back on me," and he mentioned a few other guys. And I wrote him one back, said, "No, you turned your back on me." I said, "You knew there were some things you were doing, and I just wasn't going to do them. I wasn't going to be a part of them. It just wasn't the way I lived anymore." It was hard. And as I've shared too many times probably, that best friend got saved. And he gave his testimony at a men's meeting this fall that I was able to attend. And to tell you how much that meant, I just can't begin to tell you. But it's a lonely time sometimes when you stand for the right thing. But God gives us the strength to do it. And I can promise you, when those days come, you'll be glad you did them. You know, one of the verses that we gave actually the men some years ago was Isaiah 41:10. And this is what it says: "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know what I love about this? Jesus never, listen, announced judgment without giving hope. Yes, he was the righteous judge. He was the holy judge. But listen to this, God is merciful. He told him how to get out of the city. He told him how to deal with the tribulation period. He tells you and me, he said, the way to escape it, escape the coming night, is by trusting Christ as our Savior. But he had to tell them this, because it was coming up. He's going to spend very little time with them in the future before he's nailed to the cross. This might be the last sermon I preach. I don't know. I know some of you are wishing that to be true, Fran. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Might be. And what would I say to you if it was? Just like with Jesus, he's only going to have a few more interactions with his disciples. What would I say? I'd say, escape it. Escape the judgment. That tells you how much Christ cared about his disciples and how much he cares about us.